Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on autism when we come back. Back in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Well, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. It's public business that is conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper are things like stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there is no difference in the value of gold and silver coin as opposed to clad coin or currency. And that's very true when we're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out here in the real marketplace, out in the real world, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper over gold. Now, God and our founding fathers didn't give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and our politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933, that if they were going to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away the people's rights to gold and silver coin, to take away the people's right to property, and to destroy their property rights under the first plank to the Communist Manifesto. So if you and I intend to regain our rights, our duties, and our capacities, then we must first regain our property and our property rights. And that's because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me teach you how to do just that. This is in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult homeschool. Now, if you'd like more information about our private business school, call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about autism. Autism, first identified back in 1943. So I went to the web and I selected 12 articles or stories. They're pretty common. Just type in autism there in Google, and I think it'll give you quite a source of information. And I reported to you that in one 5-page report that I reported on, that they come up with 6 possible causes, but thimerosal was not one of them. So I went through the 12 reports, and I found that out of 12 reports, 4 of the 12 contain the word thimerosal. And 8 of the reports do not even contain the word thimerosal. But in those 8 reports, they come up with 17 potential causes for autism, but thimerosal is not one of them. Now, you'd think that thimerosal, as much as it has been bandied about over the last 10 or 15 years in the press and the newspapers and so on, would at least make the cut to be considered as potentially the cause or one of the causes or a contributing factor. But it isn't even mentioned. There's another interesting statistic that I discovered here. There's an outfit that I reported on, and it's called the National Autism Association. National Autism Association. They put out a 9-page report. You can get it. It was the best report of the 12. It was put out by the National Autism Association. It's a 9-page report. And they have 17 complaints, 17 things that they think is wrong with the current strategy of dealing with autism. And they're highly critical, not directly of the FDA or pharmaceuticals and so on, but they're highly critical of the thimerosal that's contained in the vaccines. I guess it's kind of like saying water's good, but when you poison it with some kind of chemicals, well, then it makes the water, you know, adulterated, and that's probably bad for you. So they came to the same conclusion that, you know, water, which has been polluted here in the United States, you know, we put in additives in the water to kill the bacteria. And some of these additives we put in are deadly poisons. Well, mercury is a deadly poison. It's a neurotoxin, they call it. Neurotoxin attacks your nervous system. And so the National Autism Association, they took a look at the standard symptoms that come from mercury poisoning. And then they took a look at the standard symptoms that are suffered by people that have autism. There are 76 symptoms from standard mercury poisoning. Just doesn't make any difference how you got this mercury poisoning, whether you're eating tuna fish or you got mercury poisoning from eating clams or oysters, or you got it from an industrial accident, or however you got it, you got this mercury poisoning, and there are 76 symptoms. Well, I took a look at the autism victims, and they've got the same exact 76 symptoms. And I thought, that's a little bit more than just a coincidence, wouldn't you say? Now, you would think that prestigious organizations like the Center for Disease Control, the Food and Drug Administration, or the big pharmaceutical companies, or hell, even Congress, would come up with something along the lines of, gee, don't you think we ought to at least consider thimerosal in the equation? But they don't. So this is one of those classic examples, and I reported on this in the last program. I said, you will never have a government report that identifies thimerosal as the cause of autism. It isn't going to happen. It can't happen. It would destroy the economy. It doesn't make any difference how many people have to be killed, or how many people have to be bribed, or how many committees have to be formed, or how many studies have to be made, or how many billions of dollars have to be spent on the symptoms of autism, or the cost of taking care of the autistic victims. In fact, like cancer, you'll never find a cause for autism, but there will be, in the scientific literature, they will tell us that there are these contributing factors, and we don't know exactly what causes, but it's because it's highly complex. So I came up with just a plumber's solution. I said, well, if it was me, just as a plumber, now not somebody with letters after his name, I would go around the world and I would find groups of people that do not receive vaccinations. And I think I said I could find those in Nepal or Tibet. And then I would take a look at the population and see, well, how many of them have autism? Then I would come back to the United States and I would take a look at the general population, which one of the reports gave us here. And they told us that here in the United States, there is no difference in the rate of autism between religious groups or between racial groups or social groups. And so that just about covers everybody in the nation. So therefore, my common sense says, well, we should be looking for something that we're doing in the United States that we were not doing before 1943, when the word autism was first coined and it was first put into the medical literature. I would go back to 1943 and say, well, if this is the spot in history when we first identified autism, we didn't have it in 1850 or 1720, we didn't have it in 376 BC, well, then it came about in 1943. So therefore, it must be something that we're doing in this country that we started doing around 1940. I think we could trace it back to 1935 when we started putting thimerosal in the vaccines. And then I would look for something here in the United States that everybody in the country does. Well, 89% of us do. 89% of the people of America practice the vaccination program, believe in it, love it. It's wonderful. I'm not opposed to vaccinations at all. So don't write me a letter now and tell me, well, you know, you out of touch scientific dead being opposed to vaccines. I'm not opposed to vaccination. I think people that want to practice vaccination should have the freedom and the liberty and the free choice to do that. I just don't think they ought to force it on me, because I'm one of the 11% that doesn't practice it, hasn't practiced it, doesn't plan to practice it, and avoids it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And I don't have autism, and neither did any of my children. But then that's not that I'm blaming anybody. I'm just pointing out to you that the broad majority of Americans believe in vaccination. I think if you put these factors together, I think thimerosal at least deserves a place. Out of 17 potential causes, I think thimerosal should be number 18. But in the 8 reports that came out of the government agencies, not even the word thimerosal appears in the reports. I mean, listen to me again. I said the word thimerosal does not even appear in the 8 government reports. Now, there's a number of ways that we can deceive people. Remember, deception is truth. You cannot deceive people by lying to them 100% of the time. Because if you lied to me all of the time, I would always know the truth, at least as it comes out of your lips. You know, if I lied to you 100% of the time, you'd always know the truth as it relates to George Gordon. So in order to deceive you, I have to tell you the truth, at least some of the time. Some of the time, I got to tell you the truth. Now, truth plus error equals deception. Truth plus truth equals truth. Error plus error equals error. Deception comes from telling the truth. So the government doesn't lie to us all the time. And there may be some other factors along with thimerosal. There may be 3 other factors that totally eliminate thimerosal. I'm not here to tell you that thimerosal is the cause. I'm here to report to you that out of the information that I have gleaned, thimerosal stands head and shoulders above every other potential cause. Now, I mentioned to you that in one report they said it could be genetic, environmental, parental practices, irregularities in the brain, abnormal levels of serotonin, and abnormal neurotransmitters in the brain. In addition to that, the other 7 reports add to that it could be caused by rubella, cytomegalovirus, viruses, pertussis component, measles component, toxins, pollutants, smokestacks, and 2 others, the Brick Township, New Jersey, and the Leominster, Massachusetts sites, and then Candida. It could be Candida albicans, or some combination of one or more of those 17. But don't entertain the idea that it could be thimerosal. That is mercury in the vaccines. Now, I reported to you early on what I thought about mercury in the vaccines, and I tied it in with Bible prophecy. Remember that in part one, part two, I said, the real cause of autism comes directly from the creator of the universe. It comes from God Almighty himself. Not that God specifically created the autism, but autism is the results of. Autism is a label that we hang on the symptoms associated with mercury toxicity. You could take a person who was poisoned by mercury and displays mercury toxic symptoms and never had a vaccination in his life and call him autistic. And you do that because he would display the same symptoms as the autistic child. Now, the other four, and here was another thing that I thought was really, really surprising. That is, the other four reports. One came from Science Daily. The other came from the Seattle Times. And then one is the United Kingdom Times. That's a newspaper over in Great Britain, the UK Times. And then the fourth one was the National Autism Association. So those are the four that mention the word thimerosal. In the government report from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, not only is the word thimerosal, not only doesn't it appear in the report, it's a five-page report, and on page 4 and 5, they have in here, let's see, I'll count them up, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 organizations that deal with autism. In fact, it says right here, you know, if you want more information or if you need help, why don't you call one of these institutions? Where can I get more information, they ask. For more information on neurological disorders or research programs funded by the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, contact the Institute's Brain Resources and Information Network at, and then they give you a phone number, and then they give you the NINS, N-I-N-D-S, National Institute of Health.gov website, and then they point out that information also is available from the following organizations. And they list 12 of them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 other organizations. Guess which one organization is not listed? You got it. It's the National Autism Association. The National Autism Association believes that thimerosal is the cause, or it's the primary cause, or at least it's associated with, or at least it doesn't do any good to put mercury, a deadly toxin, into these vaccines. They're not on the list. So I looked at that and I said, now that's kind of special. And so I went back to my drawing board and I said, if we wanted to discredit somebody, how would we do that? And I pointed out to you in the last program, I said the fix is already in on thimerosal. It started in 1999. See, after they came to the conclusion that there was no way out, the legal beagles take over. Those of us, you know, that are charged with defense. Now, I'm a defense attorney, see, so I'm very familiar with what do you do when somebody has, you know, like I had a case one time where this woman walked up behind her husband and shot him in the back of the head with a shotgun. And, of course, it's difficult, you know, when you walk up behind somebody, shoot him in the back of the head with a shotgun to defend them. So you have to come up with a defense, don't you? I mean, we got to, you know, if you're going to kill somebody, you got to have a reason why. You got to have a reason why. Now, this isn't a case that I personally defended. This is one of the cases that we use here in the law school. It was defended by a fellow by the name of Ben Rice. And Ben Rice is a pretty top-notch defense attorney. And so in my interview with Ben, I said, all right, Ben, now, how did you defend? He said, well, we had to have a reason why, so we put in self-defense. And so I said, well, now, Ben, how do you walk up behind somebody, shoot them in the back of the head while they're eating breakfast at the breakfast table and assert self-defense? And you say, well, we had to do it by alleging that the husband, in this case, was abusing his wife and that she was in fear of her life, and so she had to kill him. I said, well, now, you know, if he's eating breakfast, she could have slipped out the back door. And he said, well, this is called the battered wives syndrome, which is a recognized medical disorder. And so we alleged that she was a battered wife and that very morning he had threatened to kill her as soon as he finished eating breakfast. And so in self-defense, she went in, got a shotgun, came out, shot him at the kitchen table. And during the trial, they brought in several neighbors as witnesses and testified that, yes, they had seen her many times with black eyes and bruises on her body. And yes, many times she had been abused by her husband. She was, in fact, a battered wife. And when the jury came back, it didn't take very long either, just 3 hours. In 3 hours, they came back and they said, well, we find the defendant not guilty. And so they polled the jury, of course, the prosecutor went and polled the jury, and they all concluded, yep, we found the defendant not guilty. And so after it was over, Ben wanted to know, well, what did they conclude back in chambers? And so they concluded back in chambers that this guy needed killing. He needed to be killed. Maybe not the day that his wife shot him in the back of the head, but because of the actions that he had perpetrated upon her in the past, they concluded he needed killing. And of course, Ben was successful in getting all of that in and getting it into the jury, and the case came down that way. Now, the reason that I bring this to your attention over here is that when we want to defend the pharmaceutical industry, and for 50 years or more, 70 years, they have been consistently poisoning people, and that millions of people have died from it, and millions of people have been incapacitated, and that the amount of damages would be so great that there isn't enough money in the world to compensate all these people for it, and our job is to defend them. We've got to come up with some kind of a novel defense. We can't just walk in there and say, well, you know, kiss off. We got to come up with something intelligent. So I reported to you, I think, in the last program. I said, now listen, the fix is in, and here's what they've done. They first of all went to the pharmaceutical companies and said, okay, we've got to at least admit that thimerosal could be a contributing agent. And so what we'll do is we'll take thimerosal out of the vaccines, and we'll make a big thing out of it. We'll publish that everywhere. And then the second thing is we will continue to add more vaccinations to the regimen, which is now up to 35, and we'll add more vaccines until we get up to 50 by the year 2020. And then what we will not publicize is that we are going to continue putting thimerosal into some of the vaccines, but not all of the vaccines, in such quantities that the total cumulative amount of thimerosal will always remain the same, so that there is never a decrease in the amount of thimerosal going into a child's vaccination regimen. That way, autism will continue to grow. Thimerosal will be publicly withdrawn from the vaccines, which will leave the jury with only one conclusion, and that is, it isn't thimerosal that causes autism. So I reported that to you. Now, the way we carry this out is that we attack the science that has been used to identify thimerosal, we attack it. And then we attack the scientists themselves who support this thimerosal theory. Then we attack the scientists' character. We identify scientists who are working on the thimerosal theory, and we attack their character. We call them no good so-and-sos. Then we attack their evidence, and then we provide an alternative, and they have provided 17 alternatives. So in 8 years, they've come up with now with 17 various alternatives that could all contribute to or could cause. That is, and these are their scientists. And so we have a split in the science, don't we? We have scientists over here that make one claim. We have scientists over here that make the other claim. That's what they did with global climate change. What you do is you create all of these alternatives so that nobody knows what to believe. Then when you want to lead these people to the conclusion that you want them to follow, you put that in the press. And then the press, which is controlled by the government-controlled press, will then tell you the answer. And so as time progresses along, you will find that thimerosal and its proponents are going to be attacked, the science attacked, and it'll be vicious, just like it was with tobacco. But in the end, when it's all said and done, the CDC will reluctantly come down in favor of these alternatives, and then the Food and Drug Administration will say, well, we couldn't positively identify thimerosal, and besides, that's been taken out of the vaccines. And then they'll conveniently not tell you that it's been added into 4 or 5 vaccines, but then we're not going to tell you that part of the story. And then the pharmaceutical companies, you know, that's their defense, will vehemently deny that it ever had anything to do with it. And so, you know, when you brought it up, we immediately, in the public interest, because we were so concerned about your health, we took it out of the vaccines and took huge losses in the process. And it didn't do anything to the incidence of autism. Now, that's the fix, and that's the way the fix is in, and that's the way that'll come down. So I just thought I would report to you here that the National Autism Association is ignored, and that's the last one. You ignore the science and the scientists. And that's what the government does here with thimerosal. They ignore thimerosal, and they ignore the National Autism Association, and they ignore any of the reports that would tend to support or bring to your consciousness thimerosal. We'll put that out of your mind, like bird flu, see? We'll put that out of your mind. Now, to bring back to your attention, there's a lawsuit that's being put on here, and I thought I'd report that to you. Vaccine autism battle shifts to federal court. This is reported in the Seattle Times. For more than a decade, families across the nation have been warring with the medical establishment over their claims that routine childhood vaccines are responsible for the nation's apparent epidemic of autism. In an extraordinary proceeding that begins today, the battle will move from the ivory tower to the courts. Nearly 5,000 families will seek to convince a special vaccine court in Washington that the vaccine can cause healthy and outgoing children to withdraw into uncommunicative autistic shells, even though a large body of evidence and expert opinion has found no link. The shift from, did you hear that? Even though a large body of evidence and expert opinion has found no link. Expert opinion. Experts where? Oh my God, the Food and Drug Administration is filled with experts, aren't they? The Center for Disease Control is filled with experts, aren't they, with letters after their names? I can't find any thimerosal connection. Can they? So the shift from the laboratory to the courtroom means the outcome will hinge not on scientific standards of evidence, but on a legal standard of plausibility. What one lawyer for the family has called 50% in the feather. That may make it easier for the plaintiffs to sway the panel of three special masters, which is why the decision could not only change the lives of thousands of American families, but also have a profound effect on the decisions of parents about whether to vaccinate their children. Did you notice this isn't a jury trial? This is a special court set up by three masters. How do you think the decision's going to come out, boys and girls? Hell, there isn't even a doubt in my mind. The three-judge special court is going to rule against thimerosal. Whether they have to be bribed or whether they have to be killed is irrelevant. I'm just telling you that that's the way that case is going to come down. Now, if this case was being tried in federal court in front of a jury, you never can tell about jury nullification. You can never tell about a jury, and when they hear all of the facts and all of the evidence, they're likely to come back and say, that SOB needed killing. Whether he needed killing on that particular morning or not may be up for grabs, but he certainly needed killing, so when she killed him, she was doing society a big favor. Juries do things like that, but this isn't going to be a jury trial. This is a special vaccine court. I liked old Joe Stalin's comment one time. He said it isn't who votes that counts. It's who counts the votes that counts. And when we get into the judiciary over here, if we had an honest court, I mean, if we had three disinterested judges, one from Argentina, one from Italy, and one from Germany, I could put more confidence in it. But when you take three special masters and you send them here to decide an issue that would impact upon an industry the size of pharmaceuticals, and remember that pharmaceuticals, along with medicine now, it represents around 20% of the entire gross domestic product. You can't wipe out 20% of the GNP. That isn't going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. Did you see what President Bush did with Scooter Libby? You see, when insider criminals get caught, they go through the processes, and then if all else fails, those insiders will be pardoned, or in this case, the sentence commuted. Now, President Bush is a strong law and order advocate, and he has only given four pardons in 6 years of office. One of them is Scooter Libby. I don't know who the other three were. Bill Clinton, when he left office, he pardoned a whole bunch of cronies, Democratic cronies. So it's not something new, but usually they wait until the end of the term, President Bush's last 30 days in office, when he would pardon Scooter Libby. But this judge, a black judge in this case, said, this white-collar criminal over here needs to be punished, so I'm going to order him to prison immediately. That is, we're not even going to give him, a free pass until his appeals are completed. So President Bush was forced, to play his hand early on, which he did. Now, that's what happens when you're an insider. Insiders get treated pretty well. Now, God didn't like that very well, so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, he says, whether the guy's rich or poor, free or bond, we decide the case based upon the merits, not based upon his connections. Now, that isn't the way we do things today. All right, hang on a second. Now, let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And for more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective at state schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website as well. Now, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not endorsed are not entirely endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. 4967. All right, we're talking about thimerosal and autism. And I pointed out to you that the word thimerosal, as it relates to autism, does not even appear in the 8 government reports. And now the Seattle Times reported on a lawsuit that is being brought before 3 special masters here, and they're going to bring in evidence of thimerosal, and I've already made a prediction. I said that thimerosal, this 3-judge panel, thimerosal is not going to be found as the culprit. Now, a victory by the plaintiffs, public health officials say, could increase the number of children who are not given vaccines and fall sick and die from the diseases that they prevent. Advocates of the theory that vaccines can cause autism have argued that the increase in cases was triggered by a mercury-based preservative in vaccines that they say is toxic to children's brains. Under pressure from the advocates and to keep the issue from disrupting vaccination programs, U.S. officials began phasing out the additive thimerosal in children's vaccines in 1999 while maintaining that there was no hard evidence that it was dangerous. So they're phasing it out, but there is no hard evidence that it was causing autism. Remember, I said the fix is in. Now, about 20 experts are expected to testify in the case. 20 experts. And 20 experts, which will involve a staggering amount of complicated epidemiology and biochemistry. Gary Golkiewicz, he's the chief special master in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, said a ruling would be a year off. Experts for the government will argue that epidemiological studies have found no link between vaccines and autism, as the prestigious Institute of Medicine concluded in a 2004 report. Now, let me pause right here. Let's listen to this one again. Experts for the government will argue. Why is the government taking sides in this? Excuse me, boys and girls, I thought that the government, and the government, remember, is trying the case, and the government's 3 special masters. Let me ask you this. Listen to this again. Experts for the government will argue that epidemiological studies have found no link between vaccines and autism, as the prestigious Institute of Medicine concluded in a 2004 report. Remember I said the fix is in? Let's take a look at this. First of all, this case is being tried in a U.S. federal court. And this court is playing the game by the rules of court that are set down by the government of the United States. These judges are being paid by the government of the United States. The witnesses who are coming in are being paid for by the government of the United States. These are the expert witnesses. And they're going to testify for the government of the United States. And this is called a fair trial. That's why I said, now, if we were trying this case in front of one judge from Argentina and one judge from Egypt and one judge from Germany or someplace like that, I'd place a little more favor to it. But I can't see that 3 judges here from the United States. And another thing I can't quite understand here is how come the United States is taking sides in the controversy? I mean, what's their interest in this? It's humongous. Tax revenues from the pharmaceutical industry. The government's interest in this case is humongous. Furthermore, there's a special slush fund. Can you imagine, you know, if thimerosal were to be identified as the culprit over here, do you know where that's going to leave Congress? I mean, you've got millions of people over here with injured children. Some of these children are now adults, and yeah, this has been going on, you know, for 50 years. And it looks like that this thimerosal not only causes autism, but a whole host and plethora of other diseases, which makes all the sense in the world. I mean, it's a neurological toxic agent, and it doesn't have to give you autism. Hell, it could give you you know, some other neurological, like dyslexia. I never heard of dyslexia, you know, when I was a kid. I imagine it's been around for a while. But what causes dyslexia? Is it a nervous or a nerve problem that's caused by mercury? I don't know. Large international studies and preliminary evidence from the United States suggest that after thimerosal was removed from children's vaccine, autism rates continued to soar. Hey, large international studies and preliminary evidence from the United States. From where? From the United States. CDC. I told you the fix is in. Now, I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to cover this one more time for you. I'm going to break in right here. Now, put out by the National Autism Association over here, they reported that a review of U.S. Schools indicates that approximately 1 in 9 children in the U.S. is currently disabled by the Department of Education statistics, the attachment. And the recent studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association of Pediatrics have confirmed the autism epidemic is real and not due to changes in diagnosis, population changes, nor is it explained by other factors. And in paragraph 10, it starts, the amount of ethyl mercury to which children were exposed through vaccines prior to the 1999 announcement exceeded 2 safety thresholds established by the federal government for a closely related substance, methyl mercury. And while the federal government has established no safety threshold for ethyl mercury, experts agree that the ethyl mercury guidelines are a good substitute. Federal health officials have conceded that the amount of thimerosal in vaccines exceeded the EPA threshold of 0.1 micrograms per kilogram of body weight. In fact, the amount of mercury in one dose of DTaP or hepatitis B vaccines, 25 micrograms each, exceeded this threshold many times over. Now, did you get that number? The EPA says 0.1. And so they put two shots out there, DPAP and hepatitis B, they put 0.25. That's 25 times more. But there's more. Federal health officials have not conceded that this amount of thimerosal in vaccines exceeds the FDA's more relaxed threshold of 0.4 micrograms, and that's four times as much per kilogram of body weight in most cases. However, it clearly did. As evidence of the growing concern of the adverse effects of mercury, the FDA has recently changed its permissible dose of oral methylmercury from 0.4 micrograms to 0.1 micrograms per kilogram of body weight. All right, so they were forced to reduce it back to 0.1. Now, the actions taken by HHS to remove thimerosal from vaccines in 1999 were not sufficiently aggressive, and as a result, thimerosal remained in some vaccines for an additional 2 years. Thimerosal remains in several vaccines. And with the addition of the influenza vaccine now being recommended for infants, children are exposed to more thimerosal today than they were in 1999. So here's the way this game is being played now. We're going to publicly tell you we're taking it out of the vaccines. And they do. They actually take it out of most of the vaccines, but they leave it in a few. And then instead of 0.1, they put in 25 times that amount into the two or three that they've got. Because you see, listen, think about it. You cannot reduce the amount of thimerosal that is going into a child's regimen of vaccinations, because if you do, the incidence of autism will go down, which will prove the case against thimerosal. I tell you, boys and girls, the lawyer that thought this defense up was an absolute genius. I got to take my hat off. In fact, I'm putting this into our curriculum here in Courtroom Strategy and Procedure. I'm taking this report from the National Autism Association. I have used Ben Rice's example of shooting a man in the back of the head and then coming up with a necessity defense for many years. There are a number of defenses that have been advanced over the years that are novel. But this is more than just novel. This is genius. In fact, I'm not sure that the lawyer that thought this up actually would have the mental capacity. It sounds satanic to me. It sounds like Satan himself, who is a genius, by the way. He's no dummy. God himself said, hey, that boy is one smart dude. I never could have come up with that. That defense there just boggled my mind when I saw it laid out here in the series of articles. In fact, you wouldn't pick it up in any one article. So the defense of the pharmaceutical industry is, we took the thimerosal out of the vaccines in 1999, and the rate of autism continued to go up. And so here we find out that, yeah, but you know, they keep adding new vaccinations to the regimen, which is now up to 35, headed toward 50. And the reason that you have thimerosal as the prime culprit here is because when it first started in 1935, didn't affect anybody. Didn't affect people until 1943. We saw a few cases of it and said, hey, what's going on here? So they identified it. Nobody could figure out what was causing it. So now they've you know, put the nails in the coffin, and they say, hey, listen, 76 out of 76 symptoms for mercury poisoning, and they're all in autistic victims over here, pretty well puts the nail in the coffin. How are you going to defend that? I mean, that's the smoking gun. How are you going to defend a woman who walks up, shoots her husband in the back of the head at the breakfast table, and then says, I had to do it because he was threatening to kill me? I mean, she's the one with the gun in her hand. You got to go back to the battered woman syndrome. I mean, you got to put a number of factors together, a number of legal defenses together to make that kind of a defense work. And in this case, Ben won at the jury level. Had he not won at the jury level, he would have taken it on up to appeal. Said, hey, wait a minute, as a matter of law, I'm entitled to a judgment notwithstanding the jury verdict because, as a matter of law, she was suffering from a battered woman syndrome. It's a mental disorder. Mental disorder. All right, so there you have it. We got genius working here. Now, going on, he says, now, large international studies and preliminary evidence from the United States suggest that thimerosal was removed from children's vaccines. Autism rates continued to soar, and you bet they did, because the level of thimerosal has never been reduced. In fact, it's been increased. And in 1999, the rate was 1 in 168. Now it's 1 in 150, and it's headed toward 1 in 140, 1 in 130. As you continue to add more thimerosal into the regimen, up to 50 vaccinations, pretty soon they're going to say, hey, listen, we've taken it out of 45 of these vaccines. And they're going to tell you, well, we took it out of all the vaccines. What they're not going to tell you is that we put the remainder of it in these five over here, and that's what's going to do it to you. Now, large international studies now. Large international studies, hey, the pharmaceutical industry, the United States government, the CDC, the FDA, they're funding studies to do what? Well, to attack the science, attack the scientists, attack the science's character, to attack the evidence, provide an alternative, and then to ignore the science and the scientists. And that's the modality that's in place. That's the way you do that. If thimerosal was the cause, removing it should have sharply lowered autism rates, scientists say. Aha, I told you the fix is in. And although definitive national evidence is not in, children vaccinated after 1999 are just beginning to enter school, which is the point at which many receive a diagnosis. Data from California suggests that autism rates are continuing to climb steeply. Isn't that just special? All right. And indeed they will. The cases are rising, experts say, primarily because of better diagnosis and services. Parents and teachers are more attuned to the signs of autism, and doctors are better equipped to spot it than they were 2 decades ago. Also, the boundaries of the diagnosis have expanded to include a range of problems under an umbrella known as autism spectrum disorder. The plaintiffs acknowledge that their case is far from airtight scientifically, but Kevin Conway, a Boston attorney representing the family of 12, the family of 12-year-old Michelle Cedillo of Yuma, Arizona, whose claim was designated the opening test case for more than 4,800 plaintiffs, said that even if the science is equivocal, it has a good legal argument, which is all he needs. Now, I want you to notice here that this 12-year-old Michelle Cedillo of Yuma, Arizona, is autistic. Did this young girl have all of her vaccines? I remember I reported this to you in the case of cancer. In 1912, I believe it was 1912, an allopathic medical doctor said that he had never observed a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Let me repeat that, in case you missed it. 1912, an allopathic medical doctor, an MD, one of the regular good guys, no, the guys we all recognize, not one of these quacks, you know, some naturopath, an MD. He said he had never observed a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. I thought that was pretty revealing. I think that one of the places to start is to ask this question. Are there any cases of autism in unvaccinated children? And you could start right here. My wife and I mentioned this the other day. You know, we've raised 12 children, all of them unvaccinated. No autism. No diseases outside of the normal childhood diseases called measles and mumps and so on. And all of our children turned out pretty well. Now, that's not conclusive proof, but I think if you took a look at 5,000 families that are in that 11%, now, I happen to know quite a few people that do not practice vaccination, and I don't know of a single one of them that has an autistic child. I don't know of a single one that has any ADHD in their families either. Now, those are rare people. They're called religious fanatics and the lunatic fringe. I don't deny that, but if you took a look at the religious fanatics and the lunatic fringe, you might learn something from it, you know. Take a look at some groups of people over here that don't have autism. And here in the United States, you're not very likely to find them because everybody's getting vaccinated. You know, across the broad spectrum of social, economic, racial, ethnic boundaries. He goes on to say there's a difference between scientific proof and legal proof, Conway said. One is 95% certainty and the other is 50% plus a feather. That's a legal term. All we need is 50%. Well, in this case, they need 2 judges out of 3. They need 66%. Congress set up the vaccine court to provide compensation for individuals harmed by those side effects because lawsuits are threatening to put vaccine makers out of business. Ah, let me ask you this. If I made a product, you know, let's suppose that I'm a mechanic in a shop, and you bring your car in to have the front end aligned, and I align your front end, and I leave out a vital part, and you go out on the highway, and you're injured thereby, do you think you would have an action against me? Yes, sir. You know, we call that a lawsuit, and we call that negligence. He knew or should have known that he was licensed. Now, the pharmaceutical companies are licensed, the doctors are licensed, these people know or should know. And if they cause a damage, you should have a right to sue. Well, Congress came in some years back and they took that away from you. Did you know that? You cannot sue the pharmaceuticals. Can't sue your doctor. So they set up this special slush fund with taxpayer money. So they took your taxpayer money. Here's your government now passing laws, and they say, we're going to compel you to get these vaccines. Then if these vaccines cause you a damage, you can't sue the government and you can't sue the vaccine maker, but you can come to this slush fund over here and make a claim against your own taxpayer dollars that we taxed you to put into this fund. How do you like that? Just thought I'd report that to you, see if you like it. Now, Conway said vaccines in general are a good thing. Now, here's the lawyer for the victims, and he says, well, I think vaccines are a good thing. Let me pause right here. My name is George Gordon, and I think vaccines are a bad thing. And I think it's witchcraft, and I think that that's the proximate cause of your autism problem to start with. And if you eliminated the cause, you could probably eliminate the problem. Now, if you just absolutely have to have these vaccines, you know, if you take the mercury out of them, I think you'd do better. You'd probably do better if you obeyed God and kept his commandments, but then, you know, if you can't do that, well, then do the next best thing and practice safe sex. That's what they tell guys, you know, they're practicing sodomites. They don't tell these people, stop practicing sodomy, and we could probably eliminate AIDS. No. You know, if you can't stop practicing sodomy, well, then the next best thing is to practice safe sex, you know, with a condom. I guess we ought to use the same principle here. You know, if you just got to have your vaccine fix, at least do it safely without the thimerosal. Give it a try, you know, and you can get vaccines without thimerosal, but as I reported to you earlier, your pediatrician, like your dentist, you know, if you go to your local dentist and you say, well, I'm concerned about mercury fillings, you know, he'll preach a sermon about how good mercury is in your mouth. And I never saw mercury on the periodic table, you know, of health foods. I've never heard of anybody suffering from a mercury deficiency, have you? I mean, that's like suffering from an arsenic deficiency or a cyanide deficiency. You got a mercury deficiency, have you? I can understand a chocolate deficiency, but I've never heard of anyone with a broccoli deficiency. You know, broccoli, you know, is not something that's well known, you know, for people to be deficient in. But chocolate, boy, I can see a chocolate deficiency, and I have that quite often myself. Now, Congress's efforts to shield makers from lawsuits over the rare but inevitable side effects have given the companies no incentive to make vaccines as safe as possible, he said. Now, this is the lawyer for the families here with the autistic children. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Because now that the vaccine makers are shielded by law, you can't sue them anyway. What incentive would they have to take the thimerosal out? Now, the incentive is this. It's the government that has been covering up and passing the laws to protect the drug manufacturing companies. It's the United States government that's in here defending the case in front of course, three U.S. government judges. That's why I say, you know, the fix is in. So tuck it away in your heart and listen up. And over the next 5, 6, 8, 10 years, just watch thimerosal and see if anybody ever identifies thimerosal as the cause. I'm making a prediction right now. You're never going to see it. See if it bears me out. All right, meanwhile, back on the farm, we're about out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. The website is georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're about out of time. We're going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.